cassette, later on CD, and now as an MP3. I played it all the way through and was reminded of what a good album it is. At that point, I did a little bit of online research. I'd heard that the band had regrouped with a new singer and released a new album. I looked online for any biography or book about them, thinking that someone must have written something in the years since Layne Staley's death, and found nothing along the lines of what I was looking for. It was at that point that I first got the idea of writing this book. I suppose my reason for writing it is similar to George Mallory's famous response to the question of why he wanted to climb Mount Everest. Because it's there. I started working on the book in August 2011, as soon as my work and school obligations were done. I took the first of several reporting trips to Seattle to do on-the-ground research. 3 years, dozens of on-the-record sources, and hundreds of pages of public records later, I finished what is the first biography of Alice in Chains. Officially, the band's story began at what is now a giant hole in the ground in Ballard, the site of what once was the Music Bank, where one day in late 1987, the four founding members met and jammed for the first time. I wanted to go back further, to find out how and why the four of them got to that place at that time, and what they did individually and as a group in the years after. I should make it clear what this book is and is not. This book was done without the cooperation of the band, their management, or their record label. It was challenging, but not impossible, to get around their policy of not commenting. I don't like the terms authorized and unauthorized biographies for different reasons. To me, authorized biographies carry a connotation of official public relations spin, in addition to the blessing and cooperation of the subjects. This is not what this book is. On the other hand, unauthorized biographies sound like the content is sleazy, gossipy, tabloid trash. That is not what this book is either. Although drugs are part of the story, I didn't want this book to be Requiem for a Dream with a Seattle grunge setting. I also didn't want this book to read like a typical rock band biography. The approach and writing were more influenced by the works of Walter Isaacson and Bob Woodward than Stephen Davis or Mick Wall. No disrespect to Mr. Davis or Mr. Wall. This book is the improbable, funny, tragic, and ultimately triumphant story of how Alice in Chains came to be and emerged as one of the most influential bands of the Seattle grunge scene. It is also the culmination of more than a decade of experience in journalism and academia, and I've tried to adhere to the high standards I've encountered in both. Part 1, 1967 to 1984. I never planned out my life. Shit just happens. Layne Staley. Chapter 1.
You can't freaking sing,
Ken Elmer. Layne Rutherford Staley was born on Tuesday, August 22, 1967, at Overlake Hospital in Bellevue, Washington. His parents, Philip Blair Staley and Nancy Elizabeth Layne, were living in the town of Kirkland, located along the eastern shore of Lake Washington. Layne's birth was announced in the Born Yesterday section of the next day's edition of the Seattle Times. Under the subheading, To Mr. and Mrs. Blank, the section is an alphabetical listing of every child born the previous day in each hospital in the greater Seattle area. The final birth listed under Overlake Hospital reads, Philip B. Staley, 10146 Northeast 64th Street, Kirkland, boy. Phil and Nancy, who were 29 and 19 at the time, had been married by a minister nearly 6 months earlier in a ceremony witnessed by Paul R. Staley, the groom's brother, and Margaret Ann Layne, the bride's sister. The previous summer, Nancy had competed in the Miss Washington pageant as Miss Bellevue. When Phil and Nancy's engagement was announced in January 1967, Nancy was a student at the Cornish School of Allied Arts. She was the oldest of Robert L. Layne and Ann J. Becker's three daughters. Her parents were both graduates of the University of Washington, where they were involved in the fraternity and sorority scene on campus. Phil was the oldest of Earl R. and Audrey Staley's four sons. He went to Denver University, where he was a member of the Sigma Chi.